Now, folks, the first song that we're going to do, and we're going to have the offering during that, but as these two nervous young ladies come and as the folks get their instruments into hand, we want to pray for them, and I want you to pray for them as well. They don't do this every Sunday. They'll do it the odd occasion, and so it's like throwing them in at the deep end. We appreciate every one of them. There have been many practices happening. As Gary has been here a couple of times, and Catherine, and I, they're all here at 4:30 this afternoon, and other times preparing. And we know the enemy would want to throw a spanner in the works, but we know that Christ gives us the victory, doesn't he? But I just want to just bow together now just to pray for them at this time. Lord, thank you for gifts and talents that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for opportunity to give these gifts and talents back to you by way of worship and praise. We pray for the band, Lord, as they lead us in these songs. And we ask, Lord, as we bring our offering and our tithe to you now, Lord, right at the beginning, we pray that it'll be just part of our worship for you, for what you have done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to do this song. It's 353 if you're still using the book. It is well, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Written by a man who just lost three daughters, as far as I am aware, three daughters. They were drowned in a shipping accident, and he lost these three daughters. And the wife sent him a message home, said, "I saved alone," and he wrote these words. At the end of a very difficult for perhaps 2019 for you, 16 funerals in the church from the folk within the church this year. There are a lot of sad people, lonely people in this service, a lot of hurting people. But mixed with that, there are a lot of people who have maybe something to rejoice about. In the midst of everything, he is our peace. He's our peace. And nothing changes him. Remain seated while our offering's been lifted, when peace like a river. Thank you, man.
Oh, I see you.
when you had been planning, if you'd looked over the scene of this devastation as the devil deceived Adam and Eve, and how was it going to be remedied, man would have thought of machinery, or man would have thought of some means or some kind of method. But would they really have thought the plan of redemption that God did plan? The next song, you can restate it. The words will come up if you want to sing along, but Rebecca and Rachel are going to lead us. Who would have thought? I tell you, this man's machinery, man's method and man's means would not have included pain, sacrifice and substitute. We'd have thought some painless way out of this hole that we dug ourselves into. And that's why we ought to all stand and sing the next song, Blessed Be Your Name. I'm glad they're leading this, because the last time I tried to lead it, I made an absolute mess. The timing had me all over the place, and I usually think of very good timing. But blessed be his name. Everything we have, folks, every opportunity, every hope we have in Christ and sins forgiven and eternity is down to him. Blessed be his name. Let's return back thanks and praise to him, because we owe everything to him. Thanks so much. We'll stand and sing during the introduction, please. Thanks. seated. I know an awful lot of people, and they could agree with you and promise you something as you're standing talking to them. They'll say, I'll do this and I'll be there, and absolutely, I'll see you here and I'll do that for you. And 20 minutes later, they'll have changed their mind and done absolutely something else. And you'll not see them for dust, and that's the promise made. Some people's promises only last for as long as it takes to say the promise. But we're not trusting, and we haven't trusted in a God who's changed his mind about you or me, or about his purposes or plans for this world. We are trusting in an unchanging God who is the Ancient of Days, who has never changed his mind. Hasn't changed his mind about you or me. Hasn't changed his mind about his purposes for you or me. And even though, folks, even though things haven't gone the way that you would have liked them to, even though they haven't gone the way you would have liked them to last year, your plans, ambitions, or whatever, didn't work out for you. Sometimes we have a tendency to get angry with God. Lord, have you changed? Why are you tampering with me? Sometimes the plans that we have are not God's plans for us. Sometimes. Listen to this song as the band and the two ladies here lead us in the Ancient of Days. If you do know it, you are allowed to sing along. Please do. And you're stiff as old birds tonight. You haven't clapped your hands once. We're here to praise the Lord. And by the look of some of your faces, that's a tough job tonight. Let's really enter into the Spirit. We're here. Let's listen to this song. Thanks. Or sing with us. Thank you. doesn't that bring you great hope to know that he's unchanging, he's the Ancient of Days, and we have read the last chapter, haven't we? We win. Have you noticed over this past year, there's been lots of fights over Brexit and exit and whatever exit, there's all sorts of things. And what I've discovered is it's all a power struggle. It's all about a power struggle. And then, there's so much confusion within Parliament that everybody, it seemed, wanted to have their own way. That's what it was all down to. Everybody had their own version of what they thought Brexit was. Not true. Everybody had their own idea, their own view of what they thought Brexit was. It's all been a power struggle. There might have been a power struggle in your life this past year. And it's not about Brexit. It's the power, the struggle between good and evil, God or the devil. And he's been struggling to take command of your life and your future. You've been struggling to take command of the blessing of God in your life. One of the things I've discovered is that the devil is a thief. And he wants to steal your joy. Maybe some in this meeting, and he has. Wants to steal your assurance. Wants to steal your confidence. You just tell the devil he's a liar, he has nothing to offer you, and that you're following the one who rewards those who diligently seek him. Our next little song that we're all going to sing is The Power of the Cross. We'll stand and sing as we lead, and let's sing it out our very best. The Power of the Cross. Thank you.
Oh,
Well, we sang a lot of songs. We sang a lot about him. We sang a lot about what he has accomplished and what he's achieved. We will sing more after the brief little message. What do you call a message that's not at the beginning or at the end? We know prologues and epilogues. What's a message called that's in the middle? Big, long sermon, not right. Anyway, we sang a lot. We have talked a lot about his glory this morning here in the church. We beheld his glory. Jesus Christ was the Shekinah glory of God. He that has seen me has seen the Father. We're going to sing another song, but we will not exhaust the material or the resources of hymnary that would fully express the glory of God. None of the hymns, all the hymns that we have, even if we exhausted them, should I say, will never fully express who he is. So let's stay seated this time. How great is our God? How great is our God? Thank you very much.
We've actually added a little bit in, we've added a little bit in after the bridge, just the chorus of Then Sings My Soul. I just think it goes in really nicely, so pay attention for that one and please sing it.
Oh,
Thank you very much. I think you can give them a wee round of applause. They really have been a blessing. I really do hope and trust and pray that your heart has been made glad, and the gremlins of the enemy that have been attacking you all over 2019, and as you've maybe even this past week have been feeling a wee bit under the cosh, that even tonight, as you think about how great our God is, that it'll have lifted your spirit. I believe that whenever God blesses his people, he puts a new song in their mouth. Now we're doing well, it's only 20 past 7, isn't that great? Supper is not until 9 o'clock, all right? If you've got the scriptures, we want to turn to God's word, Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to read the last three verses, 17, 18 and 19. Verses 17 to 19 of Habakkuk chapter 3, and we aren't going to be very long, as I promised this morning. Just a few thoughts. We've said a lot during the service. We've tried to link in the hymns and songs and trying to tie them in with what God wants to say to us this evening. And I believe that he already has been here and he's helped in every way, technically, musically, and every other way. Let's read together God's word. This is God's word. Where would we be without it? Let's give it the respect that it is due as we come to God's word for a few moments. Here's what Habakkuk says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Amen. We trust that God will bless that word to our hearts. The Habakkuk's after saying, I have absolutely no earthly or material reason that I should lift up my heart in praise and thanksgiving to God. That's what he's after saying. In fact, as we studied through Habakkuk last year, we discovered that Habakkuk was facing, or maybe earlier this year, Habakkuk was facing awful tragedy in that God was using the Babylonians to bring his judgment upon his people for their rebellion and disobedience. And they were going to be affected politically, they were going to be affected economically, they were going to be affected socially, and they were going to be affected materially. They're going to be totally wiped out. And so in verse 18, he tells us to rejoice in God and to joy in him. He's saying, I have absolutely no earthly reason to rejoice in the Lord. But I have a heavenly reason. Because God is my God. He's sovereign. He's Lord. He has given me the ability. He has given me hinds feet. He has given me the ability to stand strong when everybody's falling around me, when everybody's failing around me. He has given me the ability to look at who God is, and he's enabled me to overcome the things that would seek to obscure his grace and his glory in my life. There might be a lot of people here today, as we've already mentioned, and you're glad to see the back end of 2019. Maybe you're not. But maybe even 2020 holds for you a kind of anticipation, trepidation, fear. There's still some results to come regarding your health. There's still a lot of issues that are not sorted out in the family. There are things on the horizon. Maybe there's finance and you're wondering how you're going to afford this, that or the other. How you're going to manage to meet the bills that are coming in. Maybe a serious operation. I know that there are people facing treatment, and I know that there are one or two, Hume, especially Hugh McAllister, he's facing an operation. Poor old Adrian Bennington, he's fighting heart disease and cancer, both of the lungs and whatever. But I know that lovely song, I know who holds the future, and I know he holds my hand. And 2020 might strike fear into your heart. But God still expects every one of us to praise him and to rejoice in him. Three very, very, very simple little things. The challenge of our praise. Listen to what Paul says. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Because Paul knew, as he brought into everything into perspective, he knew that even though he was in jail, it was the will of God for him in jail. Or when he was been beaten, he knew that God allowed it for a reason. God could have stopped it. God could have avoided it. God could have led it his feet other way. But he knew that when he was following God, he was content to know that God was leading him. Men and women, it's good to know that God's at the helm of our lives, isn't it? It's good to know that whatever's around the corner, whatever's on the horizon for my life, I can trust in the Ancient of Days. I can trust the one who doesn't change. And as I look back over the past, and I have any number of things that I could go and park therein and dig a hole and have a self-pity party for all the things that have been said, all the things that have been done, all the things that have happened. But if you're living for yourself or if you're living for the world, then you'll have every reason to do so. But we're living for someone far greater and far more glorious. We're living for God. The challenge this year is to worship the Lord, knowing that He is sovereign. He is in absolute control. I love this verse, Acts chapter 5. Listen to these words, verses 40 to 42. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they'd been counted worthy to suffer shame for Him. That's our challenge. I say it again, don't let the devil steal your song. Don't let the devil steal your joy. And by the way, those of you who are not saved, don't let the devil prevent you from getting into that place where you can rejoice in Him. Where you can have that joy of knowing that whether you die or whether you live, you're in the presence of God. Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I have a desire to depart, which is far better. But he says, for you, it is more important that I stay. That's the challenge. Consider it far better practice to worship Him and to live for Him than for you to wallow in the mire of resentment and ridicule. That's the challenge. Notice the second thing, the catalyst of our celebration. See, we may lose our material well-being. We may lose our physical well-being. We may lose our social standing. We may lose our matrimonial standing. She might turn against you and kick you out of the bed and tell you to go and lay in another room. Maybe that has happened to you. Remember the day you walked up the aisle? Oh, you looked into her eyes and she looked into your eyes and you looked into her eyes and it was as if there could never be a problem. And then children came along. I tell you what, that disturbed your peace. I tell you what, it's obvious when you're married, there's nothing changes your house as a baby in the house. Isn't that right? Hands up those of you who agree with that. Because up until that point, it was all selfish, all us. You just hopped into the car and you went on a holiday or you went shopping. But then after you got a wee one, the next thing the boot was full, you had to get a trailer and something else. And there was nappies and there was book and there was everything all around you. I want to tell you, there's anything can change. We are a fickle people. We are changeable people. But as I have been saying, and I've got great solace, even though our old sorry life might dissolve and disappear, there's one thing for sure. Jesus is not up for grabs. He's not for sale. We didn't save Him. He saved us. Do you hear that? We didn't save Him. People said, I found Jesus. Jesus was never lost. You were lost. He found you. He made you feel as if you found Him. Don't allow yourself to fall into the trap of the devil of thinking because you've lost stuff that you've lost Him. Stuff comes and goes. And I have got great comfort in this next wee phrase. Nothing anybody says to you, about you, changes who you are in Christ. And nothing that has happened to you changes who God is. He's the reason for my worship. That's what Habakkuk says. Look what he says in verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy. That word joy, I looked up the Hebrew word. Is any of you here Hebrew scholars? I just cheated to see what somebody else wrote about it. It's made up of two words, this joy. It's made up of, I'm not going to try and do it. Is anybody here sprightly and energetic? Harry, are you sprightly and energetic? Are you? Could you come up to the front here, Harry? Good man. Good lad. This wee lad I want to see, he was singing there way heartily as good. You don't mind me doing this, you don't, Harry? Harry was singing in Ballymena last week, weren't you, son? I'm going to get you to sing here as well. Turn around and face those lovely people. Now, see, can you jump up and down like that there? Honestly, can you? Yes. Right. That's the first part. Keep doing it. I've got a sore back, and if I do it too long, all right, see, so this part of the word joy, all right, so you jump up and down, right? Okay, right? Now, here's the next part, Harry. See, not only does the Hebrew word mean jumping up and down, but it also means spinning. So he was saying, I joy in the Lord. Come on, let's see, can you do that? Come on, let's see, can you jump up and down and turn around as well at the same time? There you go. That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you. It means jumping and spinning. It means a man who is so full of the joy of the Lord, he's out of control. That's the joy that God brings to your heart. That's the celebration. Oh, because he is, we sing that wee song, he is my everything. He is my all. We don't mean a word of it. Because as soon as we lost the job, or as soon as we get demoted, or as soon as we lost a few pounds, or as soon as a wee bit of a health issue comes in, and I'm saying that, I was sitting beside Adrian this morning, and I said, Adrian, I know it's easy for me to talk the theory, but I wonder, would I still have the joy, and the same joy, if I was in the bed and you were sitting where I was, and I said, I would like to think that I have such faith and confidence in God, that I could still say the same thing, even if I was in my deathbed. He knoweth, said Job, the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The three men thrown into the fiery furnace. Our God, we know he can deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're going to still trust him. Because he's God. And he doeth all things well. The devil will do his worst, but God will do all things well. I'm slobbering here. When Christ saves you, he gives you, listen, he gives you the glory of his peace, the greatness of his power, the grace of his preeminence, the gift of his presence, and the gentleness of his passion. That's the catalyst. That's the catalyst. And we have these possessions by the operation and work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Notice the criteria, and I'm finished, of our praise. Trust, faith, and attitude. You see, if you put everything into perspective and put the right things into perspective, then you'll have every reason to praise. Now, hands up those of you who are over in America with us and went to the Creation Center. A few of you. There's some people who are asking, would you not do that again sometime? I'd like to go to Ken Ham's Creation Center. It's in Cincinnati. We also went to the Ark Encounter as well. Absolutely fabulous. But I remember the first time I've been to Ken Ham Creation Center. It's about three times now, Esther, isn't it? Certainly twice anyway. And they brought us into this big theater where they just fold back the seats and you're seeing all the galaxies and all the stars. And it is absolutely fabulous. And you're showing the galaxy, and it shows you the extent of this one galaxy. And they said, but that's only one of thousands. And they told us about the largest planet in one of these galaxies called, I call it Betelgeuse, but it's something like that. Betelgeuse, that's what it's called. Betelgeuse, whatever that spells. It's 415,000 miles in circumference. It's a wee bit bigger than the Earth. And yet you can obscure it with your hand, even if it was in the same place as the moon. Now here's the thing. The closer I keep my hand to my eyes, In fact, I can't see any of you here now. But the further I keep my hand away, the more I can see you. And if I could get a long enough arm, I could see everyone. Some people keep their troubles too close to their vision. And God, who is great and glorious and majestic and mighty and powerful, is obscured by that little problem. I've seen little problems destroy families, homes, and churches. All because they're taken up with whatever little issue the devil sent their way. And they looked and they looked and they looked and they gazed and they focused. If only we would learn not to focus on the negative, but focus on Him. That's the criteria. Perspective. God first. And everything else will fall into place. Let's pray, and I'm going to ask the band and see, and I think he's going to lead us in this verse. So thank you very much. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that we can rejoice and enjoy your presence. We can enjoy your power. We can enjoy your grace. We can enjoy your presence. We can enjoy your deliverance. We can enjoy who you really are. And there, Father, we pray that as we bring this prayer service, Lord, as we've sought to encourage each other in the things of God, we pray tonight, Lord, that we'll get God in focus and everything else in the periphery. Lord, bless this people tonight. Bless this wee church, Lord. We struggle at times. We find it difficult at times. We look at each other and we want to point the finger of blame and all sorts. Lord, help us to look at the one who's the answer to all of life's problems, in Christ's name. Thank you very much. Yet not I, but Christ. Oh, sorry. Is that it? Yeah, well, yet not I. Thanks very much. We'll all stand.
Thank you.
final song. May as well let them earn their money tonight. One final song. You might be saying, I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. I can't go through with this. I've come to the end of my tether. When we are weak, when I am weak, then we're strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. I trust you've taken heart with what has happened here tonight, and I trust that your spirit has been renewed, ready for the battle, ready for the fight, ready to celebrate in every circumstance, to be content. Let's pray together. Father, as we travel to our homes, we pray that we may be ever so conscious that you are with us, Lord. Even though the enemy would roar in our ears, Lord, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, help us to face tomorrow, knowing that you go before us. Bless us and part us in your fear. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.